Thank you, gracious God, so much that you continue to speak today through the words of the Bible. Please then help us to be listening and reflecting on what you've said. And we pray you'd continue to speak as we consider this amazing thing that happened from Luke chapter 7. Bless us, we pray with that in Jesus' name. Amen. It is wonderful that you're here to share Mother's Day with us. There is indeed much to celebrate today. Mothers are sometimes forgotten. They're often not communicated with enough. They're regularly taken for granted. But mothers are vitally important. It is literally true that without mothers, we wouldn't exist, any of us. And of course, mothers are very important in myriad other ways. Many of the ways mothers are important to us are so basic we don't even notice, especially when we're younger, I think. So it's good and right to celebrate today. But I know that Mother's Day can be a hard day too. For those who've had mothers who haven't been what a mother should, those who've had mothers that haven't been present because of death or some other reason, those of us who just miss our mums, perhaps especially today. It can be a hard day too for those who want to be mothers but it hasn't worked out, for those who miss children, for those who've lost children. I also know that motherhood, though a joy and a privilege, as we've sort of spoken about, is still no picnic a lot of the time. I have more to say about that later. But though I know all of this to some degree, I realise, and I hasten to add, that I don't understand these things from a deep experience level that many of us here do. My knowledge is in some ways only at the surface. But the events that were recorded in the part of the Bible we're looking at today, that second reading we just had from Luke chapter 7, Luke's Gospel chapter 7, Luke's one of the biographies of Jesus in the Bible. The events recorded there show us that Jesus Christ understands mothers at a much more fundamental level. And more than that, he not only understands, but cares for mothers in a deep and powerful way. Indeed, he cares for the rest of us too. We see some of his character of care and compassion here. And he cares for us in a way that still makes a vital difference to life today. So the events we're looking at today took place in the real world, in what's now the northern part of Israel, very likely just a few kilometres southeast of Jesus' hometown in Nazareth, at a town called Nain. There's still a town there today by that name. And we'll explore these events and what they show us about Jesus and about mothers in three parts: the care of a mother, the act for a mother, and God's care and mothers. The care of a mother, the act for a mother, God's care and mothers. Great to have a Bible open if you have one there. It's okay if you don't, but great to have one there if you have one. There's an outline on the back of the service sheets if that's helpful. If you want to take notes, we'll just keep track. That's fine as well. So first then, the care of mothers. At the start of this passage, Jesus is travelling around with a crowd. And then in verse 12, that's little number 12 in the Bibles, we're told that the crowd that Jesus is with comes across another crowd. But the second crowd is much more somber because it was a funeral procession. And in this procession, being carried was a dead person. He was being carried out to be buried. Later in the passage, Jesus calls him young man, which was a term in that culture usually used for males between late teens and mid to late 20s. So the dead man was probably in that range, that age range. And in the procession, in verse 12, was the young man's mother. He, we're told, was her only son, and she was a widow. Now that meant, first of all, that in that culture she'd lost all her economic security. She was completely exposed. But more than that, she'd lost this dear son, this child that she loved. And that's something mothers that everywhere will feel for. Whether you've lost a child or not, you'll feel for that. Because that commitment to a child, that investment, that deep love that mothers have, it has a cost, doesn't it? I've seen it in my mum. I've seen it in my wife, the mother of my children. The pain of a mother, your own well-being bound up with your children and how they're going. This woman in Luke's gospel, no doubt would have gone anywhere, would have done anything to help her son, to make sure he was okay. Because that's the care of a mother. There's a short story called No Man's Land by the Irish author Rob Doyle. And it tells of a young man, it's different, I quoted a Robert Doyle last week, different Rob Doyle. What do you know? It tells of a young man, this story, No Man's Land, tells of a young man who had an emotional breakdown and returned home from university. The young man's mother quits her job and dedicates herself to helping her son recover. She's constantly pouring herself out for him, but she's trying hard not to let him see how worried and distraught she is over his state. She's crying in the other room, but then when he comes in, I'm fine. She's hiding her tears because she doesn't want him to have to bear her tears, even though she's bearing his struggles. She's agonizing at every moment how much to intervene and how much to step back. She's pouring herself out in silent prayers for him that she doesn't want him to know about until he's all better. This Irish mother would do anything for him and would do it forever because he's her son and that's her mother's love. And the mother in Luke's gospel was no doubt much like that. But she had run up against something that even a mother's love couldn't overcome. He was a young man, yes, but he was still her boy, and death had stolen her boy away. And here she was, in his funeral procession, grieving. But then in verse 13, look what happens. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. This is the beginning of Jesus' care of this mother, his care for her. And it's rooted in his compassion. He saw and understood her pain. The word for his heart going out to her in the original language is this one, splagkinizomai. You like that? Splagkinizomai. It kind of sounds like what it is. It comes from a word meaning guts. So this is Jesus feeling in his guts for this woman. Deep, stomach-churning compassion for her. And his care throughout this passage is particularly for the woman, for this mother and widow. He expresses more concern for this mother's pain than for the dead son in the course of this passage. See, Jesus really sees this mother. He sees what she's going through, and so he feels for her. Jesus isn't a distant figure. He's not aloof. No, he's close. He understands. Jesus sees mothers and feels for them. When you lie awake at night wondering about your child, when your husband or someone else says, it'll be fine, they'll work it out. I may have said that too often myself. But you feel in your heart, actually, it's not that simple. And so you're still worried. And you're still caring for them. When you're lying there thinking that, Jesus sees and feels compassion. He also, I should say, sees others. For instance, those for whom Mother's Day is very hard today for any of the reasons that we mentioned earlier. He sees that. He feels for you. He feels with you. That's what compassion is. Feels with you. As he did for the mother in this funeral procession. And as we come back to verse 13, he says, don't cry. And you might ask, why not? Of course she's crying. She's a widow who lost her son. But you say don't cry like this when you don't want to see that person crying because you don't want to see them experiencing this pain. Like when a mother says to a child, don't cry, sweet, and wipes their tears away because she doesn't want to see tears on the cheeks of her precious child. Jesus' words here are something like that. And you can see that because of what he does to take those tears away. And that's what we come to now. The act for a mother. The act for a mother. See, this thing that even a mother's love couldn't do, stop death and deal with death, it's something Jesus can do. There's a famous epic poem by the Greek author Homer called the Iliad. It's about the Battle of Troy. The 2004 movie Troy is loosely based on it. The poem doesn't have Brad Pitt and Eric Bana in it, but the movie does. And in the movie, Brad Pitt's character Achilles kills Eric Bana's character Hector. Well, back to the poem again. After Achilles kills Hector, Hector's father is told this: "Lamenting for your son will do you no good at all. You'll be dead yourself before you bring him back to life." That was simply reflecting the wisdom of the great thinkers of the ancient world. It doesn't sound like the most sensitive words to console someone, but the point was that was the best they had, because they couldn't do anything about death and they knew it. So in our language, it'd be something like saying, you just have to move on. It's nothing you do, you just got to move on. But at that point, Jesus was completely different. Verse 14, he went up and he touched the bier, the plank or the coffin with the body. And then he spoke to the young dead man. "Young man, I say to you, get up." Very simple. Just a few words. But then verse 15, the dead man sat up and began to talk. Alive again, just at the word of Jesus. By the way, the lad talking there, it's a strange detail, isn't it? Luke doesn't do anything with it. He doesn't tell us what the young man said. He doesn't make any more of it. It's probably the sort of strange, striking detail that an eyewitness would remember. That this young man, on his way to his funeral, sat up and started talking. So it's probably a little bit of incidental evidence that this story was recounted by eyewitnesses. And Luke has written it down. Now, what Jesus did here, touching the bier and saying these few words to the corpse, it would have been comically tragic and incredibly awkward if it didn't work. But it did work. The boy was raised at a word, because that is the power of Jesus. That's why he could act for this mother. And notice what he did at the end of verse 15. Jesus gave him back to his mother. There are wells of compassion, wells of heart-healing action in that little statement. Jesus gave him back to his mother. But what happened that day, outside the little town of Nain in the Middle East, was not just an end in itself. It was wonderful in itself, but actually it was a foretaste of something greater. Something that would be on offer not just for that grieving mother, but for all of us. What Jesus did for that mother and that widow back then was not just an act of compassion for her, it was also an act of compassion for us. Because in that act, which was then recorded for us, we see Jesus' compassion connected with his power over death. And that power came to fulfillment when he struck death with the most powerful blow, the decisive blow. He himself suffered death on a cross. So that means he knows what it's like to face death and suffering. And he suffered that death in our place. But then he rose from the dead. Jesus himself overcame death, something we still remember at Easter time. And that means we have hope. Because his resurrection, his coming to life again, will lead to our resurrection if we trust in him. And this overcoming of death in chapter 7 of Luke's Gospel is like a foretaste of his resurrection, which will lead to our resurrection if we trust in him. As we've looked at this passage today and seen Jesus' power over death in his act for that mother, that's what we see. But it might raise an obvious question for some of us. That question might be this: why didn't he do this for me at the particular time when I felt I really needed it? What about the person dear to me that I lost? That's such a hard question. There's nothing I can say that will negate that pain that those of us feel who've experienced that sort of loss. Some of you may particularly feel that pain today. And in short, honestly, in this broken and fallen and confusing world, I don't know why Jesus doesn't do this in any particular situation, in any particular point. We're not given the insight to know all the details about specifics in that way. And I'm so sorry for your pain if that is you. But I do know this. A time is coming when death will no longer have the last say. A time is coming when God will wipe away not only the tears of that mother and widow, but the tears of every person in his kingdom. We saw a picture of it in our other reading, our first reading today. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. And why do I think that's true and not just pie in the sky? Because of Jesus' resurrection. So when we face death, or the threat of death, or the pain that death causes for those who are left behind, we can know that Jesus is our powerful, compassionate Lord and have real hope. Indeed, the people standing there on that day, seeing these events unfold, seem to get an inkling of something like this. And that's where we see our last points. Our last point, God's care and mothers. In verse 16, we see the crowd's reaction to what Jesus did. In the first half of verse 16, they seem to be taking him seriously, seeing the awesome power that he has, which is wise. But it's in their second reaction, which is recorded here, that they really start to get it. The end of verse 16, God has come to help his people, they say. God has come to help his people. See, in Jesus, they seem to be starting to see the arrival of God's promises. Promises God had made that he would come and be with his people in a new way and defeat the things that oppressed his people like death. God had arrived in a new way in Jesus in answer to his promises. When we look at Jesus, we see God. So as we look at what Jesus is doing here, we see what God is doing. And as we look into the heart of Jesus in this passage, we see the heart of God. We see a God who has compassion and understands our pain, and a God who can act to help. So do you see that? Do you see that on this Mother's Day? For those of us who are here who are pretty familiar with church, with Christianity, indeed with Jesus, who Christianity is all about, for you who are pretty regular here, do you remember his compassion, his care for you? No matter how hard or how joyous today might be for you, or another day, do you see Jesus here in this passage and remember that this is what God is like towards you? Full of compassion for your hardships, ready and willing to act for your good in the best way that he will know the best way, in the best way that he knows. Do you look to him to care for you and for those you love? For mums here today who are visiting with us, again, so great you come and share Mother's Day with us. Can I ask you, as we've looked at this passage, do you realize that Jesus sees you? Do you realize that he sees and appreciates the reality of motherhood, how hard it can be? Do you realize that he's seen those sleepless nights? He's seen the anguish of worry for your children. He's seen you pour yourself out for your kids. He's seen your angst when you have failed them. He sees how hard losing a child can be, or being at a distance from a child, physical or emotional. Do you see that he sees you? But in all of that, do you not only realize he sees you, but also, have you accepted? Will you accept that he is the one you need to come to for hope and help, for forgiveness for your failures, for hope in your anguish, for comfort in your distress? Do you see that in the end, he's the only one who will ultimately be able to wipe the tears away? Will you come to him? Keep coming to him to learn what it means to trust him to do that. Will you keep coming to learn about him so that you can know why he is worth trusting? Please do. And finally, for those of us here today who don't usually come to church, but you're visiting with a mum who does regularly come. Again, thanks for being here. I know your mum is delighted that you're here. That's a good Mother's Day present. Well done. Can I ask you, do you see that Jesus is the one who ultimately has compassion on your mum? Do you see from what we've looked at today why your mum has put her trust in Jesus? Do you see why, no doubt, in secret moments, your mum will have called on Jesus to help you? Do you see Jesus and why your mum trusts him? Will you see that? Are you willing to see him? To see who he is, not only to her, but also to you. Will you have an honest, genuine look, an investigation, to see if there might just be something to this Jesus who has had such compassion and who acts on that compassion? You don't want to miss the compassion of this one. None of us do. Let's pray.